The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, January 11th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. This next 60 minutes is our podcast, the Normal Daily Audio Stash, brought to you on iTunes and on demand at stash.normal.org, followed by another 60 minutes of live Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls discussing the news and cannabis events of the day. Joining me here in our Rolla-J studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, my good friend and lifelong Oregon Ducks fan, Ganja John.
It's okay, Russ.
It was a great game.
It was a great game, and I got my coping mechanism right here.
I guess we'll be able to cope with the Ducks' loss. Yeah. They finished third in the AP poll behind TCU, which finished its season undefeated. And, of course, this means now that both Oregon and Boise State have the same record to end the year. So all worked out here at Rolla-J Studios between Ganja John and I. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, topers and stashers.
Did you get a chance to see the game last night, Carrie?
I saw pieces of the game.
Yeah. Okay. You weren't up there cheering your heart out for the Ducks, huh?
Of course I was. I was just busy doing other things as well.
Okay. Well, coming up on today's show, we've got some Electric Tuesday music for you in our Daily Toker Tunes. Cannabis Cure joins us from the UK to give us the latest in electronica from a cannabis point of view. And then at half past the hour, we got some Normal newsmakers. I'm so excited about today's guests. Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana and Isaiah Valdez from Idaho Normal discussing activism, legalization activism in my birth state of Idaho, as well as Carrie. She's from Idaho as well. So we're excited to hear about their most recent protests and the meetings that they're having on a regular basis in Boise, Idaho. And then at 45 past the hour in the Radical Rant, we've got an update on that Arizona shooter, Jared Loughner, and some information, very interesting information coming out of Mother Jones magazine about his use of marijuana and his mental health. But before we get to all of that, we've got Cannabis Carrie in our hemp headlines. So Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to do a follow-up on an L.A. dispensary story, the adventures of the L.A. dispensary ordinance that we reported on last week. Also, a Supreme Court ruling from Colorado. New Jersey is implementing a program at a middle school there that is going to raise some eyebrows. And also a raid in Canada that turned out to be...
A false raid in Canada. All right. All that's coming up here on Normal Show Live right after this first break. And then stay tuned for hour two. Our Toker Talk Radio will talk more about all of this. Thanks for joining us here. And you can follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ. You can follow Ganja John at Ganja J-O-N. Visit our blog at stash.normal.org. We'll be right back after this with the news.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We reported to you last month that a Los Angeles County Superior Court judge had ruled that key parts of the city's long-time-coming dispensary regulations were unconstitutional, including the complex rules that governed which of the dispensaries could remain open and which ones had to close their doors or face prosecution. Hundreds of dispensaries closed their doors last June in L.A., and out of those that were not forced to close, more than half didn't actually meet all the requirements of the new regulations with rules that went back to 2007. In the wake of a possible injunction to the regulations, city officials are now complaining because they say that the judge's ruling are already allowing some of the closed dispensaries to reopen, even though they plan to appeal that ruling later this month. Yesterday, the judge ordered the nearly 50 dispensaries who won the injunction to post a nearly $350,000 bond within the next 10 days if they want the injunction to take effect. Lawyers for the dispensaries had urged the judge last Friday to set no bond, saying the city would not suffer any harm from the injunction. But the city attorneys pressed for a $1 million bond. One city attorney, Jane Usher, said that from the volume and intensity of the phone calls her office was receiving from neighborhoods that dispensaries were opening back up, that the court had far underestimated the damage of last month's ruling. The judge set the bond at $348,102.30, based partly on the city's estimate of the cost of police investigations and attorney's fees. He said he would consider increasing the amount if the city could show that his injunction led to higher cost. The attorneys asked the judge to set separate bonds for each plaintiff, saying getting the money together might be difficult, but the judge went ahead with a single bond. David Welch, an attorney for a few of the closed dispensaries, said he is confident that the bond would get posted, saying it is a sizable bond but not insurmountable. He says all of the plaintiffs have expressed an intent to go forward. One attorney said that even without the injunction, that the judge's ruling that the rules were unconstitutional will still stand, and the city might have a tough time enforcing an unconstitutional ordinance in front of other judges.
Need that 30 cents, Russ.
Yeah, what's with the $348,102 And 30 cents. Got to, we got to have that part of there. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Nice dispensary there. If you want to open it up, man, you're going to have to cough up some change. You know, boy, how seedy this is getting here. Injunctions to stop people from operating these businesses, are declared unconstitutional. And yet to go forward with opening the business, you got to put up $350,000 in case later an appeal finds out that they would cause problems. Oh man, what a mess, you know. This is all the Los Angeles City Council's fault, Los Angeles County, for just not coming around and having some sensible regulations years and years ago as this dispensary industry began to take root in Southern California. Now we've got all this mess, and asking small businessmen to come up with a $350,000 bond, I mean, that's just, it seems very prohibitive, you know. I sure hope they work this out sometime soon.
The Board of Education for Belvidere, New Jersey will vote tomorrow on a plan to randomly test 6th, 7th, and 8th graders to see if they are under the influence of drugs. School administrators said they were confident that the proposal will pass. Elementary school principal Sandra Sabosik said school officials want to use the testing as a deterrent. She told CBS News that the hope is when students are at a party or at a friend's house and are offered drugs or alcohol, they won't want to get involved because tomorrow might be drug testing day at school. School officials said that it is important to note that the program will be voluntary and both parents and the students must consent. Also, if a student tests positive for anything, they would not be suspended or have the results sent to the police, but instead get counseling or possibly referred to a rehab facility. School officials have said that in the phase of putting the program together, that a number of parents and students in the close-knit town have already said that they would be signing up for the testing. One parent and teacher, Noelle Corgate, said that it takes pressure off of the preteens and teens because they can easily say no to their peers because they can say they are afraid that they will be tested. There is already a mandatory drug testing program at Belvidere High School for students who park on campus, join clubs, or participate in the athletic program. High school principal Joe Flynn says the program that is a few years old has been working well in the high school to help parents and kids make better choices. The district said that it isn't about punishment, but sending a message to its students and getting help to those who may be experimenting with drugs or alcohol.
Carrie, forgive me if you mentioned it and I missed it, but what were the conditions for which these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders could be tested? It's extracurriculars, right?
Well, there's you mean at the high school level, at Belvidere High School?
No, no, I caught that part. I mean the one they want to install now for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Are they mentioning it's just
well, it's for all students whose parents want to sign up, and they do have to have consent of the students. And it will be random. They're going to pull a random test a couple of times each semester.
Well, this is going to be tough for them to have to back up because the Supreme Court has determined that student drug testing is legal in cases where you're getting the kids to pee for, you know, extracurriculars or something like parking on campus. What you mentioned for the high school kids, that has been determined to be constitutional by our Supreme Court. I don't agree with it, but it's been determined to be constitutional. And what we found from that is that when you drug test kids for extracurriculars, the kids who have the problems with drugs don't go out for the extracurriculars, which are the thing that could get them away from doing the drugs in the first place. Joining these extracurricular activities, kids are much more likely to be around good peers that aren't using drugs and have more to take up their activity time with than using drugs. But also, we found, this was a study that was just concluded in August of 2010 in Alexandria, Virginia. According to the U.S. Department of Education, students subjected to random high school drug testing programs express the same willingness to use illicit drugs in the future as do students who are not exposed to testing. That's U.S. Department of Education saying that. Now, that's not 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, but still, I think the point remains that drug testing kids, all we do is we send the message that you're guilty until proven innocent, especially when we're doing it randomly. We're just randomly searching through the population, trying to find crimes that exist, instead of using smart detection techniques, you know, talking to the kids, having maybe, instead of having 35, 40 kids in a classroom, maybe we have, you know, 15 or 20 kids in a classroom so the teachers can have more one-on-one interaction and know which kids might be following into problems with drugs. Maybe it's more sending some money to our educational system instead of having schools that are have mold on the walls and 30-year-old tech textbooks. How about we look at some of the things that might keep kids from doing drugs in the first place when they're coming from places of poverty, places of domestic abuse, you know, coming from bad neighborhoods, and where school could be the one safe place they could get a meal, get an education, and be safe from drugs. Let's talk about fixing our schools before we start checking out the pee of the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Last week in Nederland, Colorado, a marijuana dispensary owner filed a petition claiming that the new regulations for marijuana dispensaries in Colorado violated the state's constitution. Kathleen Chippy's petition argued that the stricter regulations passed last year violate marijuana patients' constitutional right to privacy by requiring that their purchases be videotaped. She filed her case with the Colorado Supreme Court by the Patient and Caregiver Rights Litigation Project, a project that she founded in hopes to skip the process of starting in lower courts and working their way up. The group was seeking to have some parts of House Bill 1284 and Senate Bill 109, the new bills that regulate medical marijuana dispensaries, among other state medical marijuana rules, overturned. Yesterday, the Colorado Supreme Court decided not to hear the case by rejecting the marijuana dispensary's owner's challenge to the new regulations governing the industry. She told the Colorado Springs Independent this morning, quote, "Apparently the Supreme Court does not think that it is a matter of great urgency that sick and dying people in Colorado are being denied their constitutional rights of safe and confidential access to medicine." Also in a press release, she said the Department of Revenue and the state legislature will continue with impunity to enact unconstitutional laws that harm patients. "We are being treated like second-class citizens yet again." Chippy and her attorney will now file the case in a district court.
That's a sad story to hear about that. And this is always an interesting situation where we're dealing with Colorado's medical marijuana, because it is a constitutional right to medical marijuana in that state. This isn't just an initiative, you know, or just some regulation that was passed by the legislature, but this is actually a constitutional amendment. So the people there, they have the right to access to their medical marijuana in a way that other states might not have. I'm hoping as they move forward on appeals on this issue that we're able to get a better situation for all of the patients in Colorado.
And in Quebec, a man is demanding an apology from police after his home was raided at gunpoint last Thursday. Oliver McQuatt said that around 7:30 p.m. on Thursday night, a team of armed police officers entered his rural home in Gatineau with their guns drawn. The man opened the door and saw a group of police with their guns drawn directly at him and said his heart began to immediately race and about 10 police officers swept through his home. He said he was terrified and shaking during the raid. While the police were in his home, his teenage son came home to find police lights flashing in the front yard. Emilio, his son, said that he too was terrified and shaking and was very worried about what was happening to his dad inside. In the end, police found no drugs on the property, no grow sites like they suspected, after a lengthy search that turned up an actual skunk that lived beneath the front of his rural home. A senior officer came in and said that there was a skunk and everything else was clean. He said that the officer seemed embarrassed and genuinely sorry, and they all apologized to him. But he said that isn't quite enough for his ordeal, and he's asking a formal apology from the police department and the Quebec Provincial Police, formally clearing his name. On Friday, the police refused to call the raid a mistake and told the CBC News that they had reasonable grounds to conduct the search. McQuatt wants an assurance from the police department that the raid will not appear on any record of his when he travels in the future. He's afraid if he travels to the U.S., his name might pop up that he was involved in some kind of drug raid, and those kinds of issues can stick with you all of your life. He's hoping that an assurance and a formal and public apology from the police might prevent that from happening. So far, no apology from the department that conducted the raid.
Oh, well, there better be an apology coming here, but boy, a skunky smell from underneath the floorboards. That explains why we had that drum circle setting up in the back bedroom. No, what a weird story here. But you know, Carrie, you know what would keep the skunks away?
Let me guess. Canadian guard bears?
Yes! Canadian guard bears! But see, this is what happened. They're hibernating now, right? So the skunks are free to roam. They're free to roam anywhere, and they ended up underneath this guy's floorboards. It's a shame, though. What a stupid raid here, busting a guy because you think you smell some pot in his house. I mean, God, that's...
It smells like skunk in, under your house all the time, too.
I know. Exactly. I mean, but, you know, in an ironic twist of fate, we would be raided by Jack Hanna.
Yeah.
Jack Hanna would come in for the skunk abuse that we did. Who's beating up the skunks down here? Oh, you guys are smoking weed. Okay. Sorry for the problem. We'll be on our way. Can I have a hit off that? No, I don't know for sure if Jack Hanna smokes weed.
I hope so.
But judging from some of his appearances on the late night talk shows, I have a theory. Thanks, Carrie, for the news. We appreciate it. Hey, folks, coming up pretty soon here, we've got our Electric Tuesday music right after this next break. And then in the normal newsmakers, we're going to speak with Sarah Frank and Isaiah Valdez from my birth state of Idaho about activism right there in the Gem State.
But in the meantime, we're going to take a break.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time for a break. We're going to drown our sorrows, so to speak. Smoke our sorrows away for the Ducks' loss yesterday.
Bubble our sorrows.
Right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire up right now.
Down job from Utah.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey there, this is Cannabis Cure. You're listening to Electric Tuesday on Normal Show Live. Today's tune is an electronic track, definitely isn't shy about speaking its mind. The artist is Katie, who studies political science at university, makes great and varied use of a range of digital sounds that add an extra dimension to the airwaves. Her manipulation of the samples make for great listening. I'm ready to light this one up straight away, so here's Smoke by Katie. Enjoy. Peace out.
I smoke.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, National Drug former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of people have all kinds of people around, some people can't hang alone.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone, and I am so excited about this next segment because joining us from the land of blue turf and famous potatoes, also my birthplace, the great state of Idaho, are two fantastic newborn activists. And by newborn, I don't mean infants. I mean they're new to activism, but glad to have them here. Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana and Isaiah Valdez from Idaho Normal. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you here. Let's start with Sarah. Sarah, Moms for Marijuana, tell folks briefly what that is all about.
Well, Moms for Marijuana is a international kind of grassroots network of parents and other people who are concerned about these laws we have about cannabis and how it's negatively affecting, you know, our future generations, not just what's going on right now, but what's going to happen in the future because of these laws. And we kind of just teamed up and are trying to help educate and create discussion in our local communities, but all around the world.
That's excellent. Now, you say international, Moms for Marijuana. Where are you all located? How far spread are you now?
Well, we have members from all over the world, including Scotland and Ireland and England, Australia. So we've got three main chapters in Israel, as well as chapters throughout the United States. Four of them being in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, one in Idaho.
Yeah, that is so excellent. All right, let's talk to Isaiah for a second here. Isaiah, you're the executive director of the newly formed Idaho Normal chapter, and what made you want to get involved with Normal and marijuana activism?
Well, after seeing how marijuana laws, particularly the more harm
in my life particularly, and in the lives of others when it comes to people wanting medical access, you know, and somebody who is not committing any crime other than what the law considers a crime, such as smoking marijuana. Mm-hmm. Now, coming from Idaho, you can go to prison for a lot longer being convicted of a marijuana charge than, let's say, a sexual assault charge or something related to, like, a sexual child molestation. Now, I thought that was outrageous in my book.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the need to actually for people to come together and speak out about this, there's a lot of people in Idaho who really want to do something and really want to participate, but they don't have an actual base or some sort of leadership to rally around. And so I think that's where we come in for people to connect with and sort of provide this guiding light for legalization in Idaho.
That is so brave of you doing this, too, because I've mentioned this before on the show, and of course folks can go to the Normal website and look up, you know, their state and find out what their marijuana laws are. But in Idaho, it's not just a crime to possess marijuana. It's a crime to be under the influence of marijuana. You can actually get 90 days just for being high in the state of Idaho. So to come out of the closet, so to speak, and to be a vocal activist for marijuana, do you feel like you're taking a big risk? Are you worried about that personally?
You know, in the beginning, before I even was interested in activism, it was something that, you know, would be crossing my mind, because as people in Idaho are willing to support the cause, they're not really willing to put their face out there on it because of repercussions from law enforcement, their jobs, or their peers or friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, at this point, it totally hit a breaking point where I said, okay, somebody's got to stand up and do something about it. So I knew that once we got ourselves out there and said, you know, raise our flag and said, hey, guys, here we are. We're all about trying to make this happen in Idaho. We had a good feeling that other people would eventually come out of the shadows and begin to support this. As with, you know, the rallies we've been having lately, there was one on January 1st on 8th and Front Street, which was a Willie Nelson global smokeout. Mm-hmm. And we had a good turnout at that one as well. As with previous Cures Not Wars global marijuana marches that we've held here as well. The last one was about 400 people. So it's actually starting to grow even more now than it was before. So just to summarize it, like a seed that's finally starting to grow.
That's fantastic, Isaiah. So Isaiah Valdez, Idaho Normal, you're holding regular meetings. Tell people listening to the podcast, if they're in the Boise area, how they can come to one of these regular meetings.
Okay, well, our meetings are the first Saturday of every month at Idaho Pizza on Broadway. So for those of you listeners out there in Idaho, and anyone who has a friend or family member who lives in Idaho and you want to get them involved in the activism, tell them about our meetings first Saturday of every month, Idaho Pizza, Broadway Avenue. I'm sure you can look that up on Google Maps. It's a very friendly, convenient place. They said that we're welcome to come there and do our meetings for good. So we had a great turnout last time. There's about 72 people. So we're really starting to pick up momentum here. And it's really starting to get exciting. You can just feel it in the air as far as people knowing that we got something going on and they're willing to do something to actually make it happen.
Mm.
It's starting to manifest into something bigger than what even we originally thought it was going to be, or a lot quicker than we even thought it was going to start to build up.
Yeah, that's very exciting, Isaiah. You know, we've got Normal chapters here in Oregon and California and Washington, you know, where they've got medical marijuana that don't turn up, you know, 75 people at a meeting. So that's fantastic. I do want to talk to you about your proposals for Idaho legislation. But before we do, let me come back to Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana. Isaiah briefly mentioned the protests that took place. I assume you guys were involved with that as well. And can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it was a national smokeout that has been organized on Facebook, and our Idaho chapter just kind of went with it and promoted it, and a lot of people showed up. I think there were throughout the hour, we had about 50 to 60 people show up for the rally. So we had more people show up for the Idaho Normal meeting than we had show up at the rally, which, you know, was very exciting.
Well, I guess there's probably not a threat of arrest at the meeting, though. Was anyone arrested, or were there any police involvements at this smokeout, Sarah?
Yes, the police attended, and they were there and very respectful. And, you know, we were welcomed back anytime because no one was arrested, no one was cited, and, you know, everybody just had a really good time. I think that there's quite a bit of support here in Boise, and it's, like Isaiah was saying, it's starting to come out of the shadows. And I think we've gotten more support than not. We did have a few anti-marijuana people show up. We had dads against marijuana, is what they called themselves, show up and calling it a gateway drug. And we had a short conversation with them. They weren't too talkative. But I think we've had way more support than critics so far.
So what were they called? Dads what were they called again?
Dads against marijuana.
Here's good news for you, Sarah. I study framing and how framing works. And one of the things about framing is that if you use your opponent's frame, even in the negative, you've won, right? So since you've created moms for marijuana, for them to create dads against marijuana, which is directly opposite of yours, means you're winning. You're starting to get that theme into people's minds. So that's really excellent work you're doing there.
Right.
When you were doing this, and as you've been doing this work with moms for marijuana, how has this impacted you personally? Has it impacted your work or your friendships or the way you've been treated by just people in the community?
I've met a lot of great people because of it. That's, I think, the biggest impact it's had on my life is that it's just, you know, this network has brought so many women together who otherwise, you know, are alone, and a lot of them are very ill and don't have somebody in that support, and we've kind of created a support for each other. And I think that's what, you know, the biggest impact it's had on my life personally.
Mm-hmm. All right.
family's very supportive and my friends are supportive, but...
Well, that's good news. That's really good to hear. We're speaking with Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana and Isaiah Valdez from Idaho Normal. And Isaiah, I wanted to come back to you to speak about legislation, possible legislation in the state of Idaho. What is in the works from all the activists there with yourself, Moms for Marijuana, all these groups? What are you guys proposing?
Well, currently, Russ, we actually had an initiative submitted to the Secretary of State for a statewide medical marijuana bill. Now, the bill, which is called the Idaho Medical Choice Act, has been submitted, and we're actually waiting to get a ballot title assigned to it, which they should be getting it back to us no later than the 19th. And once we get it back, then it is on. We're all out to gather as many signatures as we can. It's going to take about 48,000, and our goal here is to put this on a ballot for the November 2012 election and actually bring us one step closer to actually seeing marijuana legalized for some people in Idaho. So for patients, people out there in Idaho who are listening, and for those of you who have friends and family in Idaho, get on board with our website, which is idahonormal.com, or find us on Facebook, which is Idaho Normal, because we're going to have a lot of signatures to be gathering here, and every single bit counts.
All right.
So I believe we can do it. We have a lot of support, and I think this will totally make a big impact, not only for Idaho, but across the nation.
And you say the website's idahonormal.com, because I know a lot of us are .orgs out there.
Yeah, actually, it's idahonormal.web.com right now. The Facebook page you want to look for would be, you know, Idaho Normal. I'm sure everybody's got a Facebook page, you know, in this day and age. find us on Facebook, friend us, and we'll keep you updated as far as what will be needed and what areas of Idaho will be needing more support from.
Mm-hmm. And
it's not just Boise that people are interested in.
What are some of the particulars of the bill? Because a lot of, you know, we've got 15 medical marijuana states here, and is there anything significantly different about the Idaho bill as far as possession or number of plants, or do you have a registry or dispensaries, those kind of things?
We took ideas from the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, as well as ideas from surrounding other bills. There was recently a bill that was submitted by Representative Tom Trail from Moscow, Idaho,
right,
which of course was shot in the legislature. But we took parts of that bill, you know, and we're like, okay, this sounds good. This sounds great. We definitely want it to be accessible to patients, but we definitely don't want it to be too widespread that it's going to doom it, because after a while, we are in Idaho, and a lot of people know us as one of the most conservative states in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So we wanted to frame it in a way where employers can still have retained their rights as far as, you know, people who come to work impaired and on a lot of things like that, to be able to carry out, you know, regular job duties, but at the same time protecting patients just because they use marijuana for to treat their medical symptoms.
Mm, that's a good idea. You know, there's a lot of laws in medical marijuana where people are perfectly legitimate patients, but then they get fired for failing a metabolite test that doesn't prove that they're impaired in any sort of way. So that's really thoughtful to include that in the bill. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Sorry. You can view the current verbiage of the Idaho Medical Choice Act at CompassionateIdaho.web.com. It's being put out through Compassionate Idaho, which is, you know, focusing mainly on the medical marijuana aspect.
And that's a good idea, too, to have a separate group, you know, so that it can be laser-focused on that particular bill, particular issue. You say it's CompassionateIdaho.webs.com?
Yes, it's a free site for
Okay. Now, okay, CompassionateIdaho.webs.com. We'll put that up on the website. It should also be on your guys' Facebook pages, I imagine.
Yes.
Hey, and Sarah, before we let you guys go, we gave Izzy a chance to get the website and contact information. How about meetings and contact and web for Moms for Marijuana?
Everything can be found at momsformarijuana.com.
That's the number 4.
We have a calendar that lists with the number 4 or without, with FLR, we own both of them.
Okay.
And we have a calendar that will list, it's starting to list the meetings that are national. We have in each of the states, we've got a Denver meeting coming up as well here next week, actually.
Excellent. All right.
So it's a good calendar.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sarah Frank from the Idaho chapter of Moms for Marijuana at momsformarijuana.com. Isaiah Valdez from Idaho Normal. Find him at idahonormal.com or on Facebook at Idaho Normal. And thank you guys so much for joining us and for doing that hard work in a very difficult environment. I know I lived it, and you've got all my respect.
Well, thank you, Russ.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Russ. Thanks for having us on the show, and thanks for allowing us to get the word out there.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. All right, folks, coming up on the show here, we're going to have a radical rant. We got the updates on Jared Loughner, the Arizona shooter, some interesting stuff from his friends that has been reported in Mother Jones Magazine. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Army pirates here. Arr, 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 arr.
The Pirate King.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Because it's always smoking, matey. Arr, arr, arr,
arr. This is Normal Show Live.
To be the Pirate King.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Yesterday we told you about the story of Jared, the new Jared Loughner, the shooter in Arizona who attempted to assassinate Gabrielle Giffords, the congresswoman from Arizona, and ended up killing six people, wounding many others as he fired into the crowd. On yesterday's rant, we talked about this as well and how his high school classmate, a former high school classmate named Grant Weens, was reported by the Associated Press as saying Loughner seemed to be floating through life and doing his own thing. Quote, sometimes religion was brought up or drugs. He smoked pot. I don't know how regularly, and he wasn't too keen on religion from what I could tell. End quote. And then from Huffington Post, I gathered some comments. I found people saying, you know, another endorsement for the medical marijuana lobby, I'm sure. And as I've been looking around the net and through Twitter and Facebook over the past 48 hours, I'm seeing more and more being echoed in comments and in some media reports of, oh, Loughner was a pothead. He smoked pot. And how that caused him to be schizo or that caused him to go nuts. And we'll talk more about the actual mental health angles on this on tomorrow's show when we talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in cannabis science. It's a subject we've covered very much in depth, cannabis and schizophrenia. But I want to talk about this report that's coming out of Mother Jones magazine. And this is something that I've updated up on the original post at stash.normal.org. But this is from an interview, an exclusive interview given by a young man whose last name is Tierney, who was also a friend of Jared Loughner, who's seen him since high school, seen him recently, and who actually got a voicemail from him on the day of the shooting that morning. It was just a short, like, hey, bro, wish I could have talked to you or whatever, but, you know, it was very, very short message. But, of course, he'd had contact with him prior to that, and this is the quote from Mother Jones magazine. In October 2008, Tierney was living in Phoenix and Loughner came to visit. They went to see a Mars Volta concert with friends, and Tierney was surprised when Loughner said he had quit partying completely. Loughner, according to Tierney, said, quote, I'm going to lead a more healthy lifestyle, not smoke cigarettes or pot anymore, and I'm going to start working out, end quote. Tierney was happy for his friend. I said, dude, that's awesome. And then the next time I saw him, he was 10 pounds lighter. Tierney never saw Loughner smoke marijuana again, and he was surprised at media reports that Loughner had been rejected from the military in 2009 for failing a drug test. He was clean, clean. I saw him after that continuously. He would not do it. After Loughner apparently gave up drugs and booze, quote, his theories got worse, Tierney said. After he quit, he was just off the wall, end quote. And Loughner started to drift away from his group of friends about a year ago. Now, when Dr. Mitch Earlywine and I talk about this all the time, we talk about how it's kind of a chicken and egg conundrum when we talk about the correlation between schizophrenics and cannabis use, a very specious correlation that's made because it's kind of a chicken and egg problem. You can't tell whether the use of cannabis exacerbates the mental illness or whether people who are feeling the onset of mental illness start to use cannabis to self-medicate. Well, this sounds like a case of a guy using cannabis to self-medicate. He was clean, but after he quit, he was just off the wall. Perhaps it was cannabis was the only thing that was keeping this man somewhat level-headed and definitely inhibiting his tendencies toward violence. We know that cannabis has that effect on people. And this also goes to talk about the mental health care in this country, or should I say the lack of it. This guy obviously didn't have much to turn to. The college said that he would need some help, but he obviously didn't get the help that he needed. And so many people in this country turn to cannabis because they don't have another option. You know, we're not all people that can go and spend $175 an hour to speak to a psychotherapist. A lot of people, the only option they have is turning to cannabis. And that's what I'm seeing in this Mother Jones quote. So I encourage everyone to check that out on our blog at stash.normal.org. Now, another thing that happens in these debates is that, or in these issues that happen like this, is we get the comments of people that are surfing around the net looking about this issue, people who believe that the marijuana may have caused Loeffner to go off his rocker and on a rampage, and they show up on the Stash from time to time, and I'd like to share them with you, a little bit of reefer madness thrown in here to the radical rant, but this comes from a commenter named Donna, who comments on the blog, quote, "Marijuana is a drug, a mind-altering drug. If it were not, nobody would smoke it. People smoke it to escape thinking and life. It definitely is hazardous to your health and is not good for any medical reason. If you are suffering with cancer, pot is not the answer. It will only ensure you die from cancer, as pot smoking causes cancer. More carcinogens in pot than cigs. Just because it's natural, and most is treated, does not mean it's harmless. That is a stupid argument some potters use." Potters, like people who are making ceramics now.
Harry Potter?
Harry Potter, I don't know. Colonel Potter from MASH? I don't know. Anyway, "that is the stupid argument some potters use. Well, God would not have made it if we were not supposed to smoke it. You can smoke any herb out there, and it does not mean you should. I have been a pot smoker in the past and can admit how it F's you up big time. You lose feelings, emotions. You become a zombie. Strains! You become a zombie, not caring about others or yourself or life in general. And when you quit, as I have done, it is amazing how much you come to enjoy life and yourself and your abilities. Every heavy pot smoker I know has a serious anger and attitude issue. They have no pride in how they look. They have no motivation. They are slobs and lazy and just plain boring. And yes, it does cause outbursts."
Liar! Wow.
I know, this is the kind of stuff I get in the email, and it's so exciting. So I actually wrote back to Donna.
Did you?
Yeah, she left her email address. It's actually, I think it's, might not be linked up in the blog, but I had it, so I emailed back to her. It's also up on the blog. You can see my reply. But basically, I said, "Wow, Donna, you packed a lot of reefer madness into one paragraph."
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, we all know that there's plenty of good medical reasons for the use of cannabis. We know that, yes, cannabis smoke has carcinogens in it. Vaporization doesn't, but cannabis smoke has carcinogens in it. Yet, people that smoke cannabis, as according to Dr. Donald Tashkin in a 30-year meta-analysis, found that they have less incidence of head, neck, and lung cancer than people that don't smoke at all. Yes, there are carcinogens in cannabis smoke, but there's also THC in cannabis smoke, and THC has been proven to have anti-tumoral properties. It seems to mitigate the cancer that would have been caused by the smoke that you're inhaling. What's the other thing that I have to get in here? The zombie part. It F's you up big time. You lose emotions, feelings. You become a zombie. You don't care about yourself or your life. Well, Donna, I'm sorry it didn't work for you, right? And there are people for whom cannabis has this effect. It zombifies them. It's not good for them. If it's not good for you, great. Don't use it. Donna, I completely agree with you that you should not use cannabis. But you shouldn't be locking us up, because I have pride in my appearance. I'm a hard worker. I'm not lazy. I am definitely not boring. Yes, I do have my outbursts, but they seem to be pretty well controlled and capitalized upon. So I don't see what the problem is. Well, Donna emailed me back. Can you believe that? I got an email back from old Donna, and she just continued on to say that anything that is mind-altering is not good. Anything that is mind-altering is not good. You know, Ambien, all sorts of benzodiazepines, antidepressants. I guess those aren't good either. Compare one joint smoke to one glass of alcohol. You will be more mentally and physically impaired from the joint. Okay. Why are people looking for an escape is the real question. What are they running from? Why can't they deal with life on its own terms?
because I got kidney failure?
Yeah, man. Yeah. God created us. He does not want us to alter ourselves mentally, as we will not be able to fulfill the plan He has for our lives. If you're looking to relax and escape anxiety and fear, look to God, not drugs. And these drugs find their way into children's hands. Or do you promote children smoking pot as well? Whatever pot does or doesn't do, once again, it alters you, impairs you, and you are less than what you could be.
Whew. Wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I get. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll save the rest of that for another time. Thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry from Rology Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.